I wonder if any of you saw me wearing toilet paper.
Oh.
And,
wait, what was that?
And thought to yourself, Andy, you're dumb. Like, that was, Halloween was last week. The time for wearing toilet paper has passed. The time for wearing costumes has passed. You don't belong in that anymore. And you may have thought, that's weird, that the time has passed. And guys, listen, that's actually exactly my point. Because listen, you and I are all mummies. You were born a version of yourself who lived for self and who lived for law. And then when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the old you died. And the new you came to life. And it's Jesus living through you. The old self, the old man or woman, the old nature died. And the new you, the new nature, which is Jesus in you, came to life. So here's what happened. We were changed on the inside. The problem is we're still wearing dead man's clothes. We're still sometimes acting like dead men and women. The old you died. But sometimes you still act like that old person, don't you? I do. Jesus has changed you on the inside. But sometimes the way we act on the outside lines up with the old you instead of with the new you. So what we're going to talk about today is how we begin to take off these old dead men's clothes and start to live in line with the new nature that God has already given us in our hearts. And you may feel like sometimes you feel tempted to do something dumb that's something that you used to do, something that the old you like to do, and you may feel powerless to do anything about it, and you feel like you're trapped in a dead man's clothes or a dead woman's clothes. But I'm telling you, you don't have to wear those clothes anymore. You can take them off. You can take off those grave clothes that belong to the old dead you and put on something new. And that's what Colossians chapter 3 is about. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Raise your hand if you don't have a Bible and we'll get one to you. Or do you have Bibles there, Alexis? Where did the pile of Bibles go?
There's two guys.
Bibles. Passing on already? Okay. One up here. Turn to Colossians.
Colossians 3.
And we're going to pass around pens and markers too. Here, why don't you grab that one, Tatum, and Abby, will you share with Serenity, please? Okay. Colossians 3:1-8 is Paul telling us it's time to take off your dead man clothes. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, verses 1 through 4 say this is how you do it. You believe that you are new on the inside. And verses 5 through 8 are about how you kill the old behaviors on the outside. Look, you're new on the inside, but we have to kill and take off these old clothes, these old behaviors on the outside. And that's what he's going to start talking about. Look in verse 1. And before I read, I'm going to pray. Y'all pray with me. Lord Jesus, will you speak through me? Will you speak through your word? Will you help us to believe the impossible? Will you help us to believe that we really are new on the inside? that we have a new nature. And it almost doesn't make sense, but I pray that you would help us to believe it anyway. I pray that you would change us by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Y'all there? Chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Okay, look. It says, since you have been raised with Christ. Before you are raised with Christ, you die in Christ. The old you who lived for self and lived for law was crucified with Jesus on the cross. And that old you died. And then the new you was raised with Christ. And you now have a new nature because of that. And I don't know if you fully grasp the depth of that. You have a new nature. Your heart is indwelt by Jesus Christ. And your nature is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? It's hard to believe, and so that's why he tells us two things. And listen for the repetition here. After he says, since you've been raised with Christ, he says, set your hearts, tell me what you hear repeated, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What did you hear repeated?
Set your
mind. Set your, yeah, and above. And what are the two things that we're supposed to set up?
Your mind and your heart.
Your mind and your heart. Okay, and the way I like to say this, what he's saying about your heart and your mind is not necessarily just to focus them on things about God. I think it's more than just a focus. Because it says, where is Christ seated? Right hand of God. You see Jesus, you see the Son and the Father on thrones here. They are kings. He is the King, and you submit to the King. So I'm not going to say that we just focus our hearts and minds. We actually submit our hearts and minds to the things that are above. And that's really hard. Submit your heart means submit your feelings. The things that you feel in your heart. Because there's times, do you ever feel something in your heart that doesn't line up with the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. But you can't trust your feelings. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart, the human heart, is deceptive. It tricks you. You can't trust your own heart. So if your heart is saying one thing and the Bible is saying the other, you submit your feelings to what the Bible says is true. And set your minds. That's submit your thoughts to the Bible. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. There's going to be things about that the Bible says that you don't understand, that doesn't make sense in your mind. Have you ever thought that there's something you read in the Bible that's hard to understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And whenever that happens, I need to submit my mind to the Bible. So when he says, you've been raised with Christ, therefore set your hearts above, set your minds above, it's believe who you are in Jesus and submit your feelings and your thoughts to that reality that you really are new. And there really is truth in the Bible that's more trustworthy than your own heart and your own mind. So we submit our feelings and our thoughts to the Bible. Why? Verse 3 says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We already talked about how when Jesus died on the cross, you died on the cross if you believe in Him. The old you is dead. And now, your life is what with Christ?
Hidden.
Hidden with Christ and God. If your life is hidden with Christ in God, what do you think that means, Trey?
if your life is hidden with Christ and God, like, it's, like, it's hiding behind, like things in your life instead of, I don't know. Like,
anybody want to help him out? Yeah, what do you think, Ashley?
Okay, restate the... again.
Your life, I'm just reading the verse. Your life is hidden with Christ. What do you think that means?
Where all of your actions reflect God, and so it's not really you. People are saying it's Christ.
Ooh. Yeah. That when people look at you, they don't see you as much as they see Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes... my life doesn't look like that. People look and they just see me. Can anybody relate to that, or am I alone? Anybody else? Sometimes they look and they see you instead of Jesus. But the reality is that we are our true nature, even if you don't see it and even if other people don't see it. Your heart is like the heart of Jesus. And you have the heart of Jesus. You are the righteousness of God. And even though it's hidden, even though you don't see it, it's not going to stay hidden from you forever. Because look at what it says in verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, tell me what you hear repeated. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. What did you hear repeated?
Appears.
Appears. When Jesus shows up at the end... we're not only going to see Him in our heart by faith. Because right now, I can't see Him. Can you see Him right now?
No, sir.
I see Him in my heart with faith. But then, He's going to show up in the flesh. And I'm going to see Him. And in that moment, listen to what 1 John 3:2 says. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. When we see Him with real eyes, in real physical form, in that moment, He transforms us into His likeness, and the new nature that we have inside comes out, and it's in its fullness. We are like Him, and it has to be that way. Otherwise, His holiness would melt us. Do you see that? He transforms us to be like Him, and we will be like Him on the inside and the outside. And that's why some of y'all remember this hymn, It Is Well. It says, O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. Which means I can't wait for the day that I don't only see Jesus in my heart, I see Him with my own eyes. And it's going to happen. He's going to show up, and the new nature we have on the inside is going to come out. But in the meantime, I don't want you to believe the lie. Here's the lie. The lie is that what you can see and touch and feel and understand right now, that's reality. Do you think that's reality? What we can see and feel and touch and understand, do you think that's reality? Or is there something bigger that you can't understand and you can't see? There's something bigger, isn't there? Mm-hmm. There's an unseen reality. Don't buy into the lie that only what I can understand is real. There's something bigger and more awesome that's real. So that's why I say submit your feelings and your thoughts to the Bible. You can't trust your feelings, you can't trust your thoughts, because they will make God too small and they will make the Bible too small and too useless. But what happens if you, it's time to read your Bible in the morning, okay? But you don't feel like reading the Bible. What do you do in that moment? If you listen to your feelings, you don't open the Bible, you go brush your teeth, you go to school and try to obey Him in your own strength. But what if instead of listening to your feelings, you listen to the truth of the Word of God that says, your Word is sweeter than honey. And then I go, I believe that. I don't feel it right now, but I believe that what my soul desires is the Bible. So even though I'm not feeling it, I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to spend time in it. And I'm going to believe that it's going to transform me, even though I don't think that I want it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. We submit our feelings and submit our thoughts to the Word of God. and let the word of God control us, not our feelings, not our thoughts. So here's what this looks like. This represents your true self, the true you, the new you that is hidden in Christ, right? The minute you believed in Jesus, the new heart that He gave you, what it wants more than anything else is more Jesus. What it desires more than anything else is more Jesus. That's your real heart. That's your real new nature. And you might say, well, I don't feel that way all the time. I don't want Jesus all the time. Why? You want to know why? Because we have lies laid on top of our true self like heavy coats that belong to the old man. This is old men's clothes right here. And they're laid on top. These are lies. And so now the heart underneath it is saying, Jesus! You can't hear it because it's muffled by all the lies. The lies say, I want sleep more than I want Jesus. Or they say, I want drugs. Or I want to go drinking with my friends. Or I want to look at inappropriate pictures on the internet. These are what the lies say that cover up the true you underneath, who really more than anything else just wants Jesus. Not sleep, not food, not friends, not for other people to think I'm awesome, not video games. What my true self underneath all the lies really wants is more Jesus. So how do we get rid of these lies? Well, we grab them one at a time and we murder them. Look at verse 5. We got to kill the old behaviors on the outside. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. These old lies belong to the old you. And look at what it lists. It's going to list some of these things that you used to want and you still believe you want, but you really don't want them anymore. It's just a lie. And tell me what you think all these have in common. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. What would you say those have in common? There's not really one answer here, but what do you think?
You don't need them.
You don't need them? Evil? Sin?
They're sins against yourself.
They're sins against yourself? I also feel like they all kind of have to do with lust. Not only sexually, but lust is longing and wanting something that's not yours, or isn't yours yet. And all of those desires are lies. It's not what you really want. How do I know that? Because look, here's the truth. He comes at it, he picks on these lies, and he debunks them. He murders them with truth. Verse 6. Somebody read verse 6.
On account of these, the wrath of God is coming.
And go ahead and read 7 also.
In these you too once walked when you were living in them.
Okay, my verse 7 says you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Look at the words used and lived. What tense are those?
Past
tense. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying you used to want those, but that's not who you are anymore. You're dead to those things. You're dead to those lies. You don't want it anymore. The true you underneath the lies, underneath the wrappings, underneath the old clothes, the true you really just wants Jesus. That's the truth. And so he restates it in verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. And here's another list. And tell me what you think they have in common. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Anger. What do you think they have in common, huh?
Anger.
Anger, yeah. A complete lack of self-control. Huh? And these are also lies. To think that that's what makes us feel good or satisfies us, it doesn't. So look, Jesus has given you a new nature. But old habits die hard. Have you ever heard that phrase? Mm-hmm. Old habits die hard? That's these mummy clothes that we have on. Even though you're alive underneath and you're still wearing this stuff on the outside, you got to peel them off one at a time. Pick up these lies by the throat one at a time and kill them with truth and say, that's a lie. And you have to take them off. And there's work for us to do. And how are we going to kill the lies? It's not going to be with rules. We've been down that road, right? Can rules change your heart? Can't do it. So how are we going to kill the lies? With truth. With truth. You preach truth to yourself, and that helps you believe it. And by believing, you make it true in your experience. It's already true in reality. You just don't feel it or experience it because you don't believe it. That's why we keep preaching it to ourselves and letting it wash over our hearts. So that the more you say truth to yourself, the more you say, I do want the Bible. I do want to spend time with Jesus. The more you say that and preach that to yourself, the more that you start to believe it. And so you pick up these lies one at a time. And if you get mad at your mom and dad because they ask you to do something that you don't want to do, or your brother and sister, and you feel like getting angry and yelling at them, and you think, it's going to make me feel good to be angry, you grab that desire by the throat and you say, wait a minute, I'm dead to you. You have no power here. And you throw it down and you say, that's not what I want. I want to show love and humility to my parents and to my brothers and sisters. That's the new me. Or if it's, let's say, it's time to read your Bible, and you think, I really want to play video games, or I really want to sleep a little bit more. You grab it by the throat, and you say, that's not who I am anymore. That's a lie. Satan, you have no power over me, and I'm dead to you. I'm dead to the laziness. And that's not what I want. Or you're on your phone late at night and you start clicking on this girl and you hunt her down on social media and you click on all her pictures. And then you catch it and you say, wait a minute, that's not what I want. That's the old me. That's a lie. I don't want that anymore. I'm dead to that. And you keep peeling the lies away until you get back to the true you and you start to believe what's really down there. That, yeah, I remember now. I want Jesus. He satisfies. Not all those lies. And you might think, it seems kind of weird. Does it seem kind of weird to say, just believe it and it'll happen? Part of the problem with that is because we've seen too many Christmas movies where if everybody just believes enough, you'll make the sleigh fly. And we think if believing means pushing fantasy into reality. That's not what's going on here. The real reality is biblical reality, what's already true. And so by believing, we push our mind and our heart in line with biblical truth that's already true. And there is power in belief. The power of belief reminds me of one of these dynamite detonation boxes that Wile E. Coyote used to always use. And it never really worked out for him, but that's not the point. The point is you've got this dynamite set up to blow something up. And with this one little trigger, something happens. And there is explosive power in the gospel to blow off the old self, and to blow off the lies that cover your heart. Listen to how Paul says it in Romans 1:16 on how we unleash this explosive power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's not embarrassed to tell anybody. Why? Because it is the power of God. The gospel is power, and that word for power is dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. because it is the explosive dynamite power of God for the salvation. And that's not just when you first believe. The salvation is saving you from sin every day of your life as you move forward. But how is this explosive power of saving us from sin and lies, how is it ignited? It's the power of God for salvation of everyone who does what?
Believes.
Which means belief. Believing is how you and I ignite that explosive power of the gospel to kill the lies off in your heart. Belief is the catalyst to unleash the power of the gospel in your heart. So don't think believing is made up, that it's the power of positive thinking. Believing is the actual power of the gospel going to work on your heart to peel off old lies that you're believing. So you can start to believe what's true about what you really want, which is more Jesus, more Bible, more of Him. You remember the story of Lazarus? I'm going to close with this. Lazarus, who was dead, and what did Jesus do to him? Raised him from the dead. Listen to what it says in John 11:43. He looked like a mummy, by the way. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Guys, that's you. Jesus has raised you from the dead. And he's saying, it's time to take off the grave clothes. You have behaviors that belong to your old way of life. You have lies you're believing that belong to the old way of life. And you don't have to wear them anymore. Find those lies one at a time and take them off using truth, using the truth of the Word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us in this. Make your truth come alive to us and show us the power of your Word. And I pray that we would really believe it and start to apply the Bible to our lives. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters here, when they're feeling controlled by their feelings and their mind, and they're tempted to not get in their Bible, I pray that you would help them to believe what's true. That down deep, all they really want is you. And to be faithful to read their Bible and to use your truth to take off the lies. Help us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.